those who seek meaning under the sun. It's interesting that the author of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, uses that phrase 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Under the sun is what he's talking about. And in the first three verses, in particular verse 3, Solomon has identified some of those people who attempt to find identity, significance, and meaning under the sun. And that's those who strive to find meaning and identity in their work. In other words, it's their work that defines who they are. But as we saw last time, in reality, work apart from God is temporary, it's fleeting, it provides no lasting meaning. God made us to work, we're not denying that. But for us to try and find out who we are based upon our work is vanity. Now in the next section, verses 4 through 11, Solomon drives home his point even deeper by contrasting the transitory nature of man with four elements of nature that are seemingly permanent. He's talked about transitoriness of man, the fleeting nature of man. He's really going to drive that point home here. Look at verse 4. A generation goes, a generation comes. Earth remains forever. This is his first contrast. Solomon states the obvious. One generation of people dies off, another takes its place. There is simply nothing permanent in mankind's existence on the earth. We continue in this world but for one generation, and it's passing away to make room for another generation. Each generation marches out of earthly existence. Remember when I was quite young that there remained yet alive a few veterans of the Civil War. You may say, you're pretty old. It could be. My great-great-grandfather fought in the Civil War, and my own father knew him because he lived until 1936. But where is that generation now? There are none left. The last veteran of World War I was the Brit Florence Green, who died on February 4th, 2012, at the age of 110. But where is the World War I generation? We watch it, don't we? We watch our parents or my parents who fought in World War II. We watch them die off, and that generation is soon. In contrast to man's transient condition, the earth appears to be permanent. It's the same earth that has sustained one generation after another from the beginning of time. It is the same earth that Roman legions marched on, that our army marches on today. But man is here for such a short time. And when you think of that, one can easily be led into despair by thinking how quickly each of us is removed from this earth. As David asks in Psalm 8, what is man in comparison to the heavens that the Lord has made? We are gone so quickly. Is there nothing permanent in our condition? Is there nothing lasting in our condition, here today and gone tomorrow? No wonder people go into despair when they think of that. Second contrast Solomon gives is found in verse 5. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The sun provides no comfort for mankind. It sets every night. It rises every morning as contrast, the wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. So the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. The winds and rivers on the earth, they continue on their courses. They act uniformly, orderly, seemingly in perpetuity. The elements of nature act repetitively, almost in a monotonous refrain. Verse 6 underscores this idea, as it literally says that the wind is going and turning, turning and going. This sense of endless rhythm. To me, it's much like the futility of watching a NASCAR race. Round and round we go. Where she stops, nobody knows. It goes and it goes. Or it's like when I'm running on the treadmill. I'm not going anywhere. It goes round and round and round, going nowhere. But it continues to do that. So nature endures, has that rhythm. Yet man vanishes so quickly. If you think of people from Adam, Alexander the Great, to Julius Caesar, to Calvin, to Churchill, to ourselves, it's the same sun that rose and fell on them that rises and falls upon us. The same oceans, the same rivers, the same winds, and our lives are as equally fleeting as theirs. Where are those people now? True are the words of Isaac Watts. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening day. Do you not sense your impermanence? Do you not see the brevity of your life? Do you not see how fleeting your existence truly is? As Job proclaimed, my life is but a breath. You understand that. How true it is. Verse 8, Solomon. This is the theme verse of the section, verse 8. It's what I call the unspeakable. Solomon said, all things are full of weariness. Man cannot utter it. Eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Again, this is the theme verse of the section. For the person who does not know God, for the person who is living under the sun, all things are laborious and toilsome and burdensome. And Solomon says it's so true that man, as he literally says, is unable to speak about it. And what he means by that is that most people do not understand life. They don't understand what's happening, and so it's despairing to them, it's confusing to think about and to talk about. And so what do? It's true of most people. They busy themselves with things under the sun. They're consumed by the world. They're consumed by the things under the sun so they don't have to talk about the things of eternity. They don't have to think about the things of eternity. They're thinking about the here and now. They're thinking about the material possessions. They're thinking about such things. And understand, I think, again, I'm not a social commentator, but as I look upon our society in the West, we also have this major issue of self-absorption. We have this major issue of self-consumption. It's all about us, and it's all about now, and it's all about the stuff we can get. It's all about us. For example, I was told that in the 1970s, young people would travel to Le Brie in Switzerland, where Francis Schaeffer had a study center. And back in the 60s and 70s, 70s, they would go there and they would ask these questions. Is there a God? Who am I? How do I fit in the universe? Why do I have this hole in my heart? I've been told that today students go to LaBrie and they say, I'm hurting, help me. That's different. That's a big shift. People do not want to talk about the eternal questions. Who am I? Who is God? How do I fit into this universe? Solomon tells us in the second half of verse 8 that mankind is so focused on earthly pursuits and endeavors that he doesn't ask these questions. But look what he says about that. He says that such a quest is riddled with folly and emptiness. Look what he says. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That's what he's trying to get across to us, that the eye is never satisfied with seeing. The earthly cravings of humanity can never fill the void or satisfy the longings of an empty heart. Proverbs 27:20 says, man is never satisfied. Never satisfied are the eyes of man. Never satisfied are the eyes of man. It is not within the earth's power to satisfy the yearnings of a person's soul. The ear is also never satisfied with the words it hears or the songs that it hears. It must always have more. Earthly things simply do not fill the void of an empty heart. Earthly things simply do not fill the void of an empty heart. They cannot, it's not in their power to do that. They cannot give true and full satisfaction. Nor do they put the mind at ease. Nor do earthly things put the mind at rest. They can't deal with shame. They can't deal with guilt. They cannot deal with sin. Yes, perhaps they give us a momentary, fleeting pleasure. Remember how we translated vanity. Pascal once asserted, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person. Verses 9 through 10. Solomon says, what has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. So Solomon now argues that if one deeply thinks about the things of nature, if one thinks deeply about the things of earth and everything, how it operates on the sun, under the sun, he asks the question, is there anything really new? His answer is no. The heavens and the earth are the same. Nature acts the same as it always has. Earth remains the same. The winds move about as they always have. The waters move about as they always have. The sun rises and sets as it always has. Men's hearts and their corruptions are the same. Their desires are the same. Their pursuits and complaints are the same. Human misery is the same. Is there really anything new under the sun? Now, granted, some forms may change. are the same. Yes, granted, medicine may prolong our lives for a few years, but all men still die. All men still die. Technology may run rampant, but men's hearts are still deceitful. Truly, nothing new under the sun. And Solomon is raising the point here to demonstrate the folly of people who strive after new things to fill the hole in their heart. As if being on the cutting edge of technology might fill the void and validate one's existence. Reading the biography of Steve Jobs, founder of Apple. There was a man who thought technology would fill the void of his heart, and it could not. It's vacuous. It's striving after vain, fleeting things. So that brings us crescendo, which is verse 11, what it says here. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. This verse is the climax, it's the crescendo of the section. It highlights futility and fleeting nature of who we are to the nth degree. And I want to retranslate the first part of this, and it may say this in your notes at the bottom of the page of the Bible. But the text, properly translated, says this: there is no remembrance of earlier men, nor of the men who will come later. How far can you trace your family tree? 3 or 4 or 5 generations? I can record my ancestry on one side back to Eliphalet Jackson Jones, who fought in the Civil War and was stabbed at New Bern. I won't tell you which side he was fighting on. But I know nothing before him. What can be said of previous generations? What are those men and women who lived in ages past? The reality is that in 5 or 6 generations' time, you will no longer be remembered. Dust in the wind. I'm not going to sing that for those of you who remember that song by Kansas, Dust in the Wind. All we are is dust in the wind. What long-lasting, really ask this question yourself, what long-lasting significance is there to your life? How do we understand the fleeting condition of our lives upon this earth? Some people believe they live on through their children, or they're kept alive in the memories of their descendants. Give that some thought. What folly that is. What vanity that is. Others believe that the building of an edifice for one's own fame and glory will be lasting. That's how you're going to live on forever and ever. We read the story of Absalom in 2 Samuel 18:18. Listen to what he did. 2 Samuel 18, verse 18 says this: now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself the pillar that is in the king's valley, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. Called the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's monument to this day. He was thinking like a pagan, that I'll be remembered by my descendants, or I'll set up this huge edifice that will bring glory and honor my name, like Trump Towers or Turner Field or something like that. we are. I don't mean to bring you into doom and gloom, but that's the reality of those who are trying to understand who they are under the sun. What then is the answer? How do we understand these eternal and despairing and desperate questions?